Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The Lord Himself is not just going to allow you as His sheep to go ahead and be in the condition that you are without His great interest in putting you in a place of change.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our year-long study on who Christ is, Pastor returns to the book of John, and we see the meaning of Christ's statement, "I am the Good Shepherd."
Out of all the ways you could look at the book of John, we narrowed it to these seven I ams. And out of the 23 times in the book of John, he said, "I am," the significance of identifying himself as God. We've been looking at seven of those. All of those are pictures or metaphors that Jesus selected as visual aids to help these people in that time, in that culture, that knowing that as we document in Scripture for us 2,000 years later, we've looked at he is the I am the bread of life. We talked about I am the light of the world. Then last week we talked about I am the door, which ties in with today's metaphor that I am the good shepherd. Let's read John chapter 10, 11 through 18. If you're used to marking in your Bible, I encourage you to do so because you probably won't remember to tie these passages together. But I think they're important as we hear Harvest try and take the Bible, find out what it says to us, what it meant when it was written, what it means today, and what it means to us personally. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus came back to this statement again, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me." He said in verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm thankful that as he is the good shepherd, the point is he's our guide, he's our protector, he's our security, and we're going to look at that today. When Jesus now in John chapter 10 makes the statement, "I'm the good shepherd," they didn't have to have an explanation about what a shepherd does and sheep because they were all among the culture of those people. Jesus, using this as a metaphor, as a picture, as so often he did, had strong allusions back to Psalms 23. If you have your Bibles, turn there, and I want to take just a moment. I just want to highlight a couple of observations, because why do we need a shepherd? I mean, okay, we're sheep. All through Scripture, we're identified as sheep. It really wasn't a derogatory term necessarily, but there was a whole lot of weaknesses and tendencies that he saw in mankind that he came to save as a great shepherd. Let me give you three tendencies of a sheep and how a shepherd looks at that, and I think they'll be helpful, because the bottom line is, if you and I are like sheep and we are left to ourselves, naturally we're going to be unprotected, we're going to be disease-infested, and we're going to wander, we're going to be exposed as creatures. And that's why God says you're just like a sheep. Number one, if you're taking notes, understand that sheep are dumb and defenseless. You find that in Psalms, in the reference in Psalms 100, verse 3. "Know ye not the Lord, he's God? It is he that has made us, not we ourselves." We have nothing of ourselves. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And even Jesus later in his earthly ministry quotes in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." As one author noted, quote, "Lions bite, tigers claw, bears crush, mules kick, snakes strike. But the short, weak leg muscles combined with bad eyesight and dwarfed horns provide no defense for sheep against the speed, strength, and agility of wolves and mountain lions, their primary predators." And that's why Jesus said, contrasted, "I'll lay down my life if I have to protect you." What a wonderful picture that he is our protector. So you have nothing to protect yourself from spiritual attack. Number two, he not only says that, but he also says that as sheep, they're not just dumb and defenseless, but they're dependent and they're vulnerable. What he meant by that very simply is, as stated in a couple of references in the Old Testament, Jesus also said personally in Matthew 9:36, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and he'll gently lead those that are young." He said it because for sheep, they're dependent, they're vulnerable. When you look at Psalms 23:5, he says, "You anoint my head with oil." What do you mean by that? He anoints my head with oil. And the reality is, this whole psalm is all a context about a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. From verse 1 through verse 6, all of it's related to a shepherding. As Philip Keller wisely notes, it's the observation of a sheep over the entire year and what he went through. The idea of anointing my head with oil is the idea, very simply, of that shepherd that would take olive oil with sulfur and spices, or take a small measure of grease and use it for a variety of purposes. One of those, I would use the word irritation. I use that because insects were a huge issue to sheep. That fresh application was the effective antidote. He not only uses irritations, but with those sheep that are dependent and vulnerable, and that anointing that sheep's head with oil also was to ward off the intense drives. Those great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes, and at this season of the year, he would catch his rams and smear their heads with grease so that they would end up, rather than hitting each other in the head, they would end glancing off each other, not wound each other. How ridiculous are all the petty jealousies, rivalries, and animosities which formerly motivated their absurd assertions, and now he's saying, "I want this quiet, restful contentment." That should be the hallmark. Later in Psalms 23, when he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life," he's referring back to, as your head is anointed, as that shepherd that puts an occasion grease on us, that we would not end up coming at each other, but they would glance off the blows. You don't have to have headbutting with other people. And many a person that I deal with as well, I find that they have a spirit that's soured, an attitude of defensiveness, like someone's coming after them. And inevitably, when you hear out a story, something happened, and normally it's with a church or some Christian, that they look back and they use that as a point of offense, and they don't want anything to do with the gospel. So later when the psalmist says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee," what did he mean by that? I personally believe what he means by that is, what's following me as a sheep? Surely what? Goodness and mercy. So what he's saying is, what's following behind you, you're leaving goodness and mercy behind you. So that people know where you went, people would look at you and say, "Man, there is goodness there. There is mercy there. I want to follow that person." Not a head-butting attitude and one that bodies are left behind them because they've been arrogant and proud and bitter. Who wants to follow that kind of person? No one. And that's why David, the great psalmist, says, "You know what? I need my head anointed with oil because it deals with irritations in my life. It helps me with intense drives. And number three, it also helps me with infections." For sheep, because they are so dependent and vulnerable, scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over. As this author states, scab spreads throughout a flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Sheep love to rub heads as an affection and a friendly manner. But when there's some kind of contamination, then it ends up spreading and ended up killing a flock just like that. Boy, is it any simple application if we are sheep, that how often that happens, that in a very real and direct sense, this scab can even be significant of sin in our own lives, in which we absorb wrong thinking, which we're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Or so easily as well that scab is so often as we kind of, as the author says, we kind of get our heads together with someone else who may not necessarily have the mind of Christ, and we come away with imbued with concepts that are not Christian. Our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices, our impulses, our drives, our desires are all shaped and molded through the exposure of our minds to other people's minds. And that is why the writer of Hebrews says in 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And I'm so glad that when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, he knew we were sheep, and he knew that we needed our head anointed with oil because of irritations and intense drives and infections. And if you'd understand all of that, you add one last one in here, because a sheep so easily and more threatening than all of these can be when a sheep is cast. I use the word injured, because when they're cast, they so easily become injured. Fact is, Psalms 42:11 uses this when the psalmist cries out, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? It has reflections of a sheep, because a cast sheep, very simply, as stated in the Keller's book, quote, they roll over on their backs and they cannot right themselves without the shepherd's assistance. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Either he has eaten so much he lies down, and eventually he's eaten so much that he can't get up and he rolls over, or he finds himself in some place in which now, as the author says, he's lying on his back, its feet in the air, it flails away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. It's almost comical. I'd love to see it. But the reality is, he says, sometimes it'll bleed a little for help, but generally it lies there lashing about in fright and frustration. And this is precisely why he, Jesus, looked on people with such pathos and compassion, and he explains his magnanimous dealing with down-and-out individuals for whom even human society had no use. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he'll gently lead those that are with young. And Jesus earlier in Matthew 9:36, he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and he'll carry them in his bosom, and he'll gently lead those that are with young. You see, the Lord himself is not just going to allow you as his sheep to go ahead and be in the condition that you are without his great interest in putting you in a place of change, because he is our provider of all we need. He's our protector from spiritual attack. He's our provider, helping us work through our issues of life, from irritations to intense drives, to even being infected to the place and injured that I can't help myself. God says, I'll meet all your wants.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.